At the close of Revelation chapter 10, John was told to eat the little book and that he must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. In chapter 11, John wrote about the rebuilding of the tribulation temple, the two phenomenal witnesses, and he also wrote about their impact on the world. On chapter 12, he wrote about a great war that broke out in heaven, which caused the expulsion of the dragon and his angels or demons from heaven. In chapter 13, John will tell us about the two main tribulation characters, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Put in practical terms, the Antichrist is the politician, the false prophet is the preacher. He's the religious one, the religious leader. I utilize today's language, preacher, because we sort of relate a lot to that. He's the preacher or the priest, or he's the high holy one. These two will work together to merge church and state. That is a most disastrous combination. The government running the church. What a mess that would be. Throughout history, world leaders have spoken about a new world order. Winston Churchill said, "The purpose of the new world order is to bring the world into a world government." That was Winston Churchill. Certain world leaders have created the World Bank, the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, two world courts, the International Criminal Court and the International Court of Justice, and more. The United Nations wants a world constitution, a world currency, a world income tax, a world military more powerful than any military on the earth, a global identification number, and a global ethic. A global ethic, which is another way of saying a one world religion. That saddens me and depresses me, even thinking about a one world religion, somebody telling me how to worship and telling me who to worship. That's a very distressing thought. Now, many world leaders are not so honest when they talk about this one world government. They use terms like global management. That sounds innocuous. It doesn't sound like a big problem. The rule of world law, they would say. A collective sovereignty is what they call it. Global sovereignty and collective security. It sounds okay. But they're all of these different expressions mean the same thing. One world government. We're often told that globalism simply means global cooperation, standards, and trade, which is true, but it also means global cooperation to deal with hunger and poverty, environmental and natural resources protection, and the settlement of disputes. That means people from all over the world will be trying your cases. That kind of thing. These ideas and, well, these protocols are catching on and are growing into a monster called one world government. Its earthly leader will someday be the Antichrist, the political leader, one day. Many world leaders desperately want world peace, but they don't believe that world peace is possible with the without the elimination of religious differences. So they want to bring everybody together to believe together. They want religious standards and they want to force everyone to abide by these standards. The secularists call this global ethic. But Students of Prophecy calls it the coming one world religion. Its earthly leader will someday be the false prophet. It would be the religious leader. I personally find this all very, very distressing. Just the idea of these things. And the fact that even in the world we live in today, we have leaders who are all, well, we can't say all, because there are some Christian leaders in there. But who is ever in leadership position, they're the ones that can call those kinds of shots. I haven't heard Donald Trump say it just yet, but I have heard some previous politicians say, use those, some of these terminologies. And when you think, and I just think about what this really means, it means that America, one of the most prosperous countries, if not the most prosperous countries in the world, will have to pour its resources in with all of the rest of the countries and some of the poor countries and some that don't have anything at all. And we're going to have a group of folks that are not necessarily Americans sitting and determining how these resources are doled out. And so you will find out if we don't plan to be here. I don't know about you. I hope you don't. I hope you come with me, you know, and go with the Lord. But those that will remain on the earth will have to deal with what these one world government folks say. And we'll have to be governed by that. And you won't be able to push back on it if you want to live. And so that means whatever riches we enjoy today, and believe me, poor people have more in America than some people that are well off in other countries. Poor people are eating good. Poor people are living pretty good too. They have homes, air conditioned cars, you name it, you see. And so while the standard of poor in America is a certain level, the standard of poor in another country is a whole nother different level. And so when you start thinking global government, one world order, globalism, these type things, they want to water down what we have, and let's pour it all in one pot. Let's just all get along, and let's take care of all these one different religions that saying that one is better, which that includes the Muslims, because the Muslims say we have the truth. That means they're going to also want to break them up too. You know, they don't want anybody saying that they've got the main religion. But the false prophet is supposed to take care of that. They want a world ethic where everyone's thinking and worshiping and believing the same way. And that is something that I cannot abide by. And I'm so glad that Jesus has taken care of that for us, that we won't have to be here and deal with it. But I tell you that there will be a generation that will have to deal with that. There will be a generation of people on the earth today. And you say, well, it's talking about the Middle East and all of that. When they apply that number to everybody, and everyone has a number, you will find that it will be worldwide. And even though it might be stationed in Europe or wherever it's going to be stationed, they will have control of everything, all commerce, everything that's going on in the world. They will be pushing those buttons. They will be tracking. And listen, you say they're not tracking now, but they're giving away free cell phones. You got video from anywhere. Anytime something happened, video pops up. You go look on YouTube. What happened on 3rd Street? YouTube, 3rd Street, Tallahassee. Boom, somebody's got it up. And that's just in the hands of the citizens. But just wait. Just wait. We say, oh, great. Free cell phones. Do you not know these people are using y'all? They're using us. And you know, police officers go to Facebook to solve crimes. And let's see if wait a minute. We know exactly where he is. Let's go get him. Facebook. Read his profile. There he is. We know where he was when the crime took place. Look at that. He didn't say nothing that time. There he is right there, you know. And they'll take them and convict them with social media. And I think that we're in the light part of this thing that we're mm-hmm. talking about. Mm-hmm. This is not developed. That's coming. But yet it's being put in place. They have the ability now to give a number to every person in the world. Mm-hmm. Right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I was studying and I might come across and say it again, but your social security number is not the number. Your driver's license number is not the number. All of these numbers that we have is not the number. If you got a little something in your hand, it's not the number. You see, if someone do this, it's not the number. This is going to be a system-wide numbering when it takes place. And so we don't need to worry. We don't have the number yet.
Right.
And they're not passing out numbers just yet. But there will come a time when that will be the case. But it's not, if Jesus is Lord, then you don't have that to worry about. If he's your Lord, if you accept him as Savior, Jesus, your God. I mean, so many ways it can be said, but you're all saying the same thing. Jesus, your God. Jesus, your Lord. You're the one. You're the top one. You're the one in my life. You're the one that I trust. You're the one that I worship. You're for me. You die for me. However way you put it, well, he comes in and he changes you. And you become that new creature. You don't have this to worry about. We're talking about prophecy and things to come. And it's scary. And I might have got sick studying this stuff this weekend. I'm not sure. But I sure didn't feel too good after this. Because when you study evil and you study Satan, there's nothing happy about the study. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he was that from the beginning. So how can you get any joy out of this study except this information? So Lord, we thank you today for bringing us to this point. We are so glad that we made it to Revelation chapter 13, headed on through the book of the Revelation. We know that it gets better as we go. We pray that you will help us, Lord, and open our hearts and our minds and put us on fire, Lord, because of what we're learning here, knowing that if you don't come in this generation, it'll be the next generation. But there is a generation that you will come. And then help us, Lord, to take these things seriously so that we can properly represent you on the earth today and not be afraid to say Jesus Christ is God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you do, who you are, and who we are in you. And help us as we study on from this point in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 13. Verse 1, he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Blasphemy is when someone speaks against God. It's when someone speaks down on God. It's almost like calling God a really nasty name, to blaspheme God. It's to call him, to equate him with something that animals do on the ground, or to equate him to something nasty stuff. You blaspheme his name. You're just tearing him down. And each of these heads had the name of blasphemy on their head, meaning they had no respect for God, no care for God, no love for God, these heads they're talking about. So when the church is gone, evil will have its way, and the beast, that is the Antichrist, will rise to power. 2 Thessalonians 2:7 states, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. He who now letteth is one that the word let, it means to hold back. It is to hold down. And so because of the presence of the Holy Ghost in the world today, the evil that could be done is being held back. Though we see evil happen in the earth today, it's nowhere near as evil can be. We are not seeing the full extent of what evil really is, because the Holy Spirit is here and he's still holding back. It says until he that holds back is taken out of the way. Now, the Holy Ghost lives in us. We have the Holy Spirit. Whether you speak in tongues or not, you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, some folks say you got to speak in tongues. And I've seen some folks that speak in tongues and cuss you out on the way home. So, you know, so that's one sign that's a little suspect. So it's not to put nobody down, but they will, won't they? They'll speak in tongues in church and tell you off before they get home, you know. So that's a poor sign to go by. And that's one of the most easiest counterfeited gifts ever, is tongues. It's the most easiest counterfeited gift. Anyone can counterfeit tongues. But you have to be able to discern. And that's where you need the spirit of discernment. And only he who has the Holy Spirit can discern whether that's authentic or not. Because everyone else can still be tricked by that utterance that folks make. Because they don't have the ability through the Holy Spirit to discern. But he who has the Spirit can discern whether it's authentic or not. And it's not for you to go up there and say, you're a liar. You know. it tells you how to pray. You know, we got to learn to be wise. Many times God show you things. It's just for you to know. Not for you to make a big show. Guess what? The Lord just showed me. You need to sit down and relax. And find out, why, Lord, did you just show me this? Because folks are like that. Folks get all puffed up, not even pride. God hates pride, man. And so sometimes he'll show you things just for you to know. You know, he needs someone, as they said, who will stand in the gap. So you see evil going, you know you don't like it. That don't mean you're supposed to get up and get in his face. That means you might need to just pray. You know where that person is, then you know how to approach them. You know how to talk to them. See, you know how to, and you know what, Jesus, I wish I could learn to talk how he talked. He would say, what do you say? Hey, such, what you there about it? You say, well, what do you say about this? And they go, well, all of a sudden they're telling them what, then you say, well, this is how that goes. See? You know what I mean? So I wish I could learn to talk like him. I just don't got it. You know, I'd be getting like, man, you don't talk to me like that. You telling me, pray for me, Because he'll throw it back and say, what do you say? You don't tell us, are you the Christ? They say, you say that I am. Well, he knew he was the Christ. We say, that's what you say. Then you say, did somebody else tell you, or did you say this on yourself? That's the kind of stuff he would do, you know? So to learn to talk like that to folks, they put them like, whoa. Make them start thinking, see? When they start thinking, they start opening up. And now you open up for dialogue, see. You make them think about what they just said. And then they're going to try to say something fix you. Say, well, okay, well, let's talk about that. You see, now, well, I know I must have been wrong. So it's open, you see. So it's just a little lesson on discernment. And it's also a lesson on how to handle what God gives you. Just because you know don't mean you got to blab your big mouth. Just hush your mouth. And wait on God. It's no harm in waiting on God. God is never in a hurry. He's never late. He's always on time. Y'all take this to heart. Take it to heart. Wait on him. He shows y'all a lot of stuff. But you blow it most of the time because you go and fix something. Do something, you know. Hush your mouth. Just hold off for a little bit. Go sit down and say, Lord, Lord, did you see what I just saw? and go and ask him, what's going on here, Lord? You know, and let him say, you know, you need to go get in your truck and leave or something, you know, and I'll talk to you about it. So just, you need to learn to relax with this, because discernment is a very powerful gift to have. And that means you know things that other people don't know. Some folks, I don't want to know some stuff about me. If some folks know some stuff about me that I don't know they know about me, but they were wise enough not to say it, because it make me so uncomfortable. Like, man, where you get that from? Who told you that? That ain't nobody's business. You see. Discernment. All right. So we got way over there from 1 Thessalonians 2. The dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, He's going to rule the masses of humanity in the last days. The 10 horns that he talked about there are 10 rulers who will reign with Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. The 7 heads are said to have a double meaning. One, there are 7 world governments, and there are 7 hills where the world religion will be located for a short time during the tribulation period. Now remember, Antichrist and the false prophet. Antichrist is the politician, and the false prophet is the preacher or the religious leader. And so seven governments, that's politics. And then seven hills were the religion, that's religion. So those heads are said by some prophecy experts, and I'll have to go with that for now, that that's what that means. Seven hills and this government. The ten crowns are the ten divisions, and I've had to think about this a lot. Ten divisions of the last world government. Each division will have its own ruler and set of false religions. According to the Bible, man will go through seven heads or seven world governments. Now, seven world governments. The seventh world government is the one that Antichrist will rule. Now, I want to slow up with this because it's not terribly complicated, but it's kind of past and then in future that they're talking about here with these seven governments, that man is going to go through seven governments. Now, they have already passed. Many of them have already passed that have ruled the world before. Assyria was one. Assyria was in charge of the world once. It's one. Then Egypt. Egypt was a part of in charge of the world once. And you remember that the Jews were in slavery in Egypt, and they was under the Egyptians. And then the Babylonians, number three, were in charge of the world once. That's three. And then the Medes and the Persians were there. And you'll see, and I think Daniel, you'll see reference to that. Mm-hmm. Remember the handwriting on the wall and all of this. They had the instruments of the temple of God, and then the hand came out, and you know, the hand was the power was transferred. Then it was the Greeks next. Mm-hmm. Then it was the Romans, and the Romans were in charge when John was writing this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because the Romans are the ones that put John into Patmos. Mm-hmm. So that's six. The seventh one is the one that the Antichrist is going to rule over. So man is going to experience seven world governments, and has experienced six. Uh-huh. And then the seventh one is the one to come. Yeah. That's the one that the Antichrist is going to rule over, the United Nations, probably. Wow. Revelation. Mm-hmm. The seventh is the one that Antichrist will rule over. Mm-hmm. Assyria, let me see. Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Medo-Persians, you missed the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans make six, and then possibly the United Nations is seven. So that's seven governments that man is going to deal with. Seven. Revelation 17, 9 and 10, John wrote this. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Medes and Persians, the Greeks. Rome was still in play when John was writing this. So he's saying five have fallen during John's day. Rome was still in power at the time. Right? Because the Romans put him on the mountain. He didn't want to put him on the Isle of Patmos. One is, when you say one is, that means presently. Right. That was present for John. Okay. For John, one is, that was Rome. Mm-hmm. One is, and the other is not yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So, see what he's saying? So when you look at it from John's perspective, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, he says, five have fallen. Uh-huh. And I gave you the sixth and then the seventh one. He said, five have fallen. One is, which was Rome. And the other one is yet to come. And that's the one that the Antichrist is going to rule over. Seven total governments that mankind is going to be under. These seven heads and seven kings. And I promise you, I still don't got a whole lot of this stuff clear in my head. But it took me some, I had to put everything down and walk away and go sit in the rocking chair and just kind of sit there and read it and think about this thing. Because what is he talking? It's present. When is? He's talking about Rome. I'm reading from behind some other folks, and you know, and I got helps, man. I need helps for this. You know, you're not going to read this and pull it out on your own. Now, I'm just telling you, you know, don't be too big that you don't get some help. So we need help. So. Revelation 13:2. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. Wow, these symbols they're using. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. In this verse, beast represents world government, which will begin as a mixture of three groups of nations. In this group, now here we go again. Number one, he and the leopard group will act as one body on all critical issues, the beast and the leopard group. They're going to agree together on things like Israel, Jesus, and believers. And during that time, there will be Israel on the earth. They will definitely have to deal with Jesus because his followers will be there on the earth. And they will have to deal with believers because there will be believers. People are going to get saved during the tribulation period. The tribulation saints. Very dangerous time physically. But there will be people getting saved. And in the bear group, he and the bear group will also stand for the same things. The beast. They're going to be standing for the same things. And the lion group will serve as a voice, and all that it does, it will just say whatever the beast say. Kind of like a suck up, if you will. Yes, I thought of the term this morning, a suck up. Where everybody know what a suck up is. That's what this last script would be like, a suck up. Yeah, that's what he said. What did she say? And he said this too, Which, yeah, just like he said, you know, suck up, man, you know.
Yes, man, you know.
And so that's the lion group. At the beginning of the beast's kingdom, these three nations will give him his strongest support, but he will eventually control the whole world. Eventually, he will control the whole world. Now, one writer interpreted these major nations in the following way. Like a leopard refers to a future Arab coalition. So he's identifying an Arab coalition. The Antichrist and a group of Arab nations will act as one body. Leopards are native to Africa and have been used at various times as a symbol of African nationality. And so we're looking for that nation. See, the feet of a bear refers to Russia and her allies. The Antichrist will be supported by what is left of the Russian Empire, that is the Russian bear, following the first Russian invasion of Israel. And I didn't get to look it up, but I remember reading a place in prophecy that's saying that Israel or Jacob or whoever, whichever one, will look be troubled at what it sees coming down from the north. And Russia is northeast of them. I looked at the map. Russia is up here. Israel is right here. Russia is right there. And it's going to be coming down from the north. So Russia is slated to invade them. Now, I'd have to look some more into that. So don't put your stakes in there. But I remember reading that about that invasion of Israel. And then the third one, the mouth like the mouth of a lion, refers to England and those nations established out of England. Now, this stopped me for a minute, because we don't ever see what happened to the United States in this prophecy. We never see what happened to the United States. And it's just Leroy now. This is coming out the book of Leroy, so you can't go nowhere but here with this. But I haven't seen where the United States fits in here. See? But United States is a part of the United Nations, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is a part of the United Nations. But, you know, they're constantly trying to drain the United States and just kind of wipe us out and stuff, you know. But this thing says that established those nations established out of England. The United States, were they not established out of England?
Yeah,
they came out of England. So that's just my little thing there, you know. But I'm thinking very possibly it might be this group, very possibly out of England. And that's, like I say, you can't go nowhere with that. But here, you know. Now, the symbol of England is the lion. That's the symbol. The Antichrist, England, and those nations coming out of England will speak with the same voice. That's the parrot, the mimic. Yeah, that's what he's saying. You're right. Yeah. He's our man. He can't do it. Nobody can. You know, he's just kissing up. And we'll remember that. Now, the Antichrist power will come from Satan. It's going to come from Satan. Jesus was the incarnation of God in the world, and the Antichrist will be the incarnation of Satan. Whoever or whatever he is comes from pure evil. This Antichrist is going to be one evil, evil, evil politician.
I had a terrible thought.
Trump. No, he ain't here yet. No. A lot of folks think evil of Donald Trump.
I don't think he's evil.
Yeah, a lot of folks think evil of him. But you know, down through the years, they have called different presidents and leaders the Antichrist. And the folks don't, Nixon, folks that don't like the politicians say he got to be the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Nobody could come that evil. And he's like, hell, he ain't no Antichrist, man. He ain't no, he don't have what it takes to sit in that office. Donald Trump ain't no, he ain't the one for that. Donald Trump, number one, is too conservative. He's a conservative. Now, whether he's a Christian or not, I don't know, but the Christian conservatives you find in the Republican, you know, camp. And so he's more along that line. I'm not much with politics, but he would not go with this too. He wouldn't work too well with this, I don't think, you know. They'd have to take care of him, you know, get him out of the way to move forward with this. But that people don't like him, so they, you know.
I know.
Now he's got to be a little bit more evil than this. A person by the name of Mark Hitchcock wrote this. Scripture reveals 8 attributes or characteristics of the Antichrist's personality. He will be an intellectual genius. He will be an oratorial genius. He will be a political genius. He will be a commercial genius. He will be a military genius. He will be a religious genius. He will be a Gentile. He will emerge from a united Roman Empire. And I got scriptures for each one of these. I just didn't bother to call those out. If you want those, come and see me. I'll give them to you. But they all basically come out of Daniel, Revelation, and 2 Thessalonians. And all of these things I just said are in the scriptures. Each list, but I just didn't bother to go Daniel 8, that Daniel left, you know, but they're here. Another person by the name of William S. McBurney wrote this. Is Satan cruel? The Antichrist will be cruel. Is Satan a liar? The Antichrist will be a liar. Is Satan treacherous, bloodthirsty, contemptuous, unreliable? The Antichrist will be all that. That's why I'm urging you to go in the rapture. Don't be on this earth after we Christians leave. Don't hang around this place because it is going to not be, number one, conducive for Christians. It's not going to be too conducive for too much of anybody. And there will be Christians, there will be Gentiles, there will be Jews on the earth during that time. When Christ comes, that's when it's all going to start. And you start seeing things happen very quickly in the Middle East. You'll see the Antichrist then will pop up. He'll show his face. We'll know exactly who he is. And he will begin his plan. And then you'll see a 7-year agreement that will be forged between Israel and all of his enemies. And everything will seem to go along. You'll see the temple being built in Jerusalem. That, by the way, Israel is already amassing material. They've got the red heifers. You know, they use red heifers to sacrifice, you know, special sacrifices of cows. They had thought they were all, had all been wiped out, and they found, through DNA evidence, they found a red heifer, and now they are raising red heifers.
Wow.
And these heifers are under military guard.
Wow.
That means you halt, you cannot come near these heifers. They are getting that ready. They're getting ready to build, and they're thinking about how quickly can we do it. One thought was maybe we can prefabricate the temple and have it up in a very short period of time. They are now contemplating. They are planning to build this temple. It's a matter of where. The site. Is it the site of the Dome of the Rock? Because there's a problem, because the Muslims say this is where our leader came from. Our leader should be here. Or is it right off to the side of the Dome of the Rock? Now they're determining exactly where is the spot where the Jewish temple stood. And now they've got some archaeologists and some scientists saying, you know, it might not be the exact Dome of the Rock location. It could be right off the side of the dome. And then they got folks trying to make them all come together and talk and try to make some kind of a... So, you know, what was that? We said earlier that, Jews worship, Muslims worship on a Friday, Jews worship on a Saturday. So if they can get a building and we can all share this building, we ain't got to worry about each other. Just the Muslims just come on Friday and have worship and clear out for Saturday, and then the Jews be there on Saturday and they have their worship. No problem, see? I don't know how that ain't. But they're considering all of these different types of plans. They are definitely getting ready to build this temple. And the question is how. And it's called the Tribulation Temple. It is going to be a Tribulation Temple built in Jerusalem. And the sacrifice is going to start again. The Jews have not accepted their Messiah for the large part. And they think they still are old to the old sacrificial system. Right. Mm-hmm. They still will be waiting for their Messiah, but the Bible says that when the fullness of the Gentiles will come in, mm-hmm. that all Israel shall be saved. That means their eyes are going to come straight open. Mm-hmm. And of course, when the abomination of desolation is set up in the temple, that is, when the Antichrist mm-hmm. sets himself in there and the false prophet is saying, him, mm-hmm. worship him, mm-hmm. worship him, and the Jews are going to say, whoa, thou shalt have no graven images. That's when they're going to refuse. That's up to the 3.5-year cutoff point. And then once 3.5 years, once they see that abomination of desolation, they see this statue that's set up for men to worship, they're going to back off. And then the last 3.5-year period is going to be truly the worst period of the tribulation period. And that's when the Antichrist is going to really show his hand. And there will be so much persecution numbers given and all of this kind of thing. We're going to get shortly to this, the number of the man, which is 666. We're not there yet. The folks so worried about the number. I don't want a number. I don't put nothing in my hand. You know, it's like, just get saved, man. Just get saved. The blood of Jesus, you know, overcomes all of that. If you got stuff in your hand, you know, they got tattoos in their hand and stuff, they will never come out, you know. They got tattoos on their head, they got tattoos on their face. I don't know why they do that.
Only inside.
Yeah, they got tattoos in places we won't talk about. But you get saved, Jesus Christ forgives all of that. Regardless of what that is. He will even forgive a transsexual. You know, that's the biggest sin for us guys. You know, like, there's no forgiveness for transsex, you know. Right. You're like, God said, well, hold on now. I'll forgive him.
Yeah, yeah.
God will forgive him. But for us, it's almost like the unforgivable sin, man. You cut off your what? Man, ain't no forgiveness for you, man. You going to hell, you know. God say, no, what? Hold on. I'll forgive that one too. So that's some forgiveness now.
Yes, sir.
But he will forgive, and he will save. And it's just, that's a God that is so much greater than you. So much greater than me. And so much more graceful than me. You know? So, go forth and share the good news in any form that you can. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be formal.
Right.
You don't have to know all of the right scriptures. Mm-hmm. You just need to know what to say. And you say what's in your heart. And if you don't know the scriptures, you got a testimony, you could tell what God has done for you. If they got questions, you say, well, I'll get your answers. Or let me call my pastor. Or if I ain't got them, I call my pastor. I got a pastor too. And we'll go on and we'll get answers. Amen?
Yes,
well, Father, thank you for this day. What a great day it's been.
Yes.
Hallelujah. No AC, no electric, none of that stuff. And what a great service we've had.
Yes, yes.
We're so glad that you visit us here and you let us know that our ancestors used to worship like this all the time.
Amen.
And it's a beautiful day today. The weather is wonderful. We're just so grateful to you for this message. Thank you for opening our eyes to these matters and showing us how blessed we are to have you and know you. May we continue, Lord, to celebrate our Christian existence in you and the world today, knowing that we are the most blessed of all people in the world, that in truth there is no one more blessed than we, because we have you as our Savior. Be with us, Lord, and open our hearts and mouths and our minds and all that we are to share the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.